Hey, why don't we pray tonight, church, as we kick off in the Word of God. Father, we just thank you for your Word. Your Word is what saves us, heals us, delivers us, sets us free. Lord, your Word gives us dreams and visions and sets our course and destiny for our future. And so, Father, tonight we receive in our hearts your wonderful, beautiful, precious Word. Yes, in Lord. Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, this month in a couple of weeks' time, it's Jane and my 30th wedding anniversary. Very excited about that. And we've got three beautiful kids, Emma, Nelson and Tom, who all live in New South Wales, which we're very sad about that. And but kids are great. Kids are great fun, aren't they? Those of us who have parents and maybe past parenting, you know, our kids have grown up. We appreciate the fun a bit more than when it's happening right before our face. And I remember particularly Tom, our youngest, who's now a physio up in Yamba, and Tom was always into sciences and asking questions. And I remember at times when Tom was first in school, about 4 or 5 years of age, and he's asking the questions like, "Dad, you know, what's water made out of?" And it's like, "I don't know what water's made out." And, "Dad, how do they make plastic?" I got no idea, Tom, how they make plastic, and all these types of questions. And, you know, "Dad, how did God make air?" I don't know, Tom. And, you know, Dad. And as a parent, you can get quite frustrated at these continual questions. I remember one day, he was asking another, you know, Dad, how do they?" And I went, "Tom, don't you know, curiosity killed the cat." And he looked at me and said, "What did the cat want to know?" Continually asking questions. But it's great to ask questions. Questions is how we learn. Questions is how we grow. I think asking questions shows that we're humble. And we want to learn off others. And as a church, I'm loving doing the harmony of the Gospels. And if you're not doing it with us, I want to encourage you, start now. And if you've fallen behind, don't worry about that. Don't bother trying to catch up. Just do this week's. It's the best way. And grab this lovely, beautiful, amazing flyer from at the iConnect desk and has all the week's scriptures that we're reading together, the harmony of the Gospels. And this week, we're going to be looking at the death, burial and resurrection of Christ. You know, as I've shared my faith with people over the years, people have asked many great questions, and I love it. I'm not challenged. I love it when people ask me questions, whether it's about theology, whether it's about my personal faith, asking, you know, all sorts of questions about God and Jesus. People, you know, the usual questions, you know, who is Jesus and why did Jesus have to die, and all these wonderful questions that people ask about Christianity. And so tonight, in the context of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, I want to sort of ask the question about, you know, what is Christianity? What is Christianity? And so if you're here tonight and you are a Christian, I'm hoping that some of the things that I share will help reinforce your faith and maybe help you to be able to articulate your faith to others. And if you're not a Christian and if you're maybe not sure, I'm hoping that as I share, maybe there'll be a few little aha moments and maybe some of the questions you've been asking, great questions you've been asking, will maybe get an answer. And at the end of the service, I want to be able to pray with you. So, you know, what is Christianity? Christianity is basically an invitation. I love invitations. Don't we love getting an invitation in the mail? It means somebody's thinking about us. Somebody loves us. Somebody wants us to be there. And often, you know, at the bottom of an invitation, particularly a wedding invitation, there's four little letters, RSVP. There was this German professor studying in Australia, and he wasn't aware of the Australian culture, and he turns up and he's at his studying as a professor, and he got a wedding invitation. He took it home to his wife. He was quite pleased about it. They opened it up to read the wedding invitation, and at the bottom, he saw the RSVP, and not being a custom that they use in Germany, he wasn't quite sure what it meant. And so, as a professor, he went away, and he's thinking about it in his German thinking, and finally walked back into the room to his wife and said, "I know what it is. RSVP. Remember the wedding present." Interesting, what the professor thought was a demand was actually an offer or an invitation. So RSVP, it's French. It stands for? That's the one, Respondez, s'il vous plaît. And so it basically means, are you going to come? Are you coming to the wedding? And it always has a date on it. And you've got to reply by the due date. If you don't reply to the RSVP by the due date, you're not going. You've missed the party. You've missed the wedding. It's really important to respond by the due date. And for all of us here tonight, God is offering to us an invitation from God to us. When we receive an invitation, there's usually three things that we're concerned about and we're reading to find out. First of all, we want to know, who's it from? Number two, who's it to? And the third thing, what's it all about? And so God's invitation to us can be really read simply in, it's been mailed to us and it's got a stamp on it, and the stamp says John 3:16. And I think we're going to read that scripture tonight. We know it so well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God's invitation to us. So our first question to this great invitation, so who's it from? We can see there, for God. It's from God. The invitation is to us from God, delivered by Jesus Christ. You know, the very first Russian cosmonaut that went into outer space for the very first time, when he came back to Earth, the very first question they asked this Russian cosmonaut was, did you see God? And he said, no, I didn't see God. And the Kremlin and the Russian government at the time from that concluded that God did not exist. The very first American astronaut into space, when he came back to Earth, the fourth question that he was asked by the media was, did you see God? And his answer was, I would have if I had got out of my spacesuit. And so perspective and how you think and how we approach things is quite important. A little girl was running around the house and said, Mummy, Mummy, is God in the house? And the mum sort of thought about it and says, yeah, God's in the house. And she's running around a bit more and the little girl says, Mummy, Mummy, is God here in the kitchen? And Mummy thought, yeah, God's in the kitchen. And she said, Mummy, Mummy, is God in this jar? She thought about it and said, yeah. And she went, yeah, God's in the jar. She went, gotcha. And a lot of us are like that when we come to God and approach God. It's like God's sort of okay as long as we've got him where we want him. We don't want God to encroach on me, my lifestyle, my thoughts, my habits, my hobbies, my preferences, my whatever. I just want God in my little jar and then I'm going to be happy. God so loved the world. Who's the invitation from? It's from God. And who's it to? It's to you and I. It's gone. It disappeared. God so loved the world. I love this. But sadly, so often, many people just don't acknowledge. Many people have not received, so many people have not RSVP'd on this incredible invitation from God. I remember starting a new job and the second weekend, it got round to the usual question about, you know, what'd you do on the weekend? I found when I was starting new jobs, it's quite important to sort of let your faith be known, let people know that you're a Christian as soon as you can. Because I've been in those circumstances where I've been backed into the corner by listening to the jokes that might have been on the edge or, you know, maybe the little bit of gossip or whatever. And if we wait too long to sort of shine our light, that feeling of being backed into a corner and then thinking, oh no, if I say something now, they're going to think I'm a hypocrite or something. And it's really, really uncomfortable. And so it's good to say something. And, you know, even if you've been at a job for a long time and people know that you are a Christian, you know, when people say, you know, what'd you do on the weekend? Don't just say, well, I went to church. It's like, boring. You know, what'd you do on the weekend? I went to church. It was fantastic. And the preacher was teaching, you know, the pastor was teaching about and share a little bit of the message. We were learning about marriage or how to balance our finances or how to raise kids or we're learning, you know, get them interested. We'll learn about demons and deliverance. It was amazing and it was incredible. It's like, Whatever it might be, but we need to stimulate people's interest in the gospel and the word of God. And so I remember starting this new job, and the question came, you know, around what you did on the weekend. And I shared that, you know, I went to church, it was fantastic, and people in the office there were listening. And then one guy looked at me and he said to me, "I just reckon Christianity's a crutch." And we've probably heard that before. "I just reckon Christianity's a crutch." And I said to him, "You're right, you know. But if you had a broken leg, I reckon you wouldn't mind a crutch to give you a bit of support for a while, would you?" And he said, no, that's true. And I said, "Well, I'm a broken person. In fact, everybody I've ever met is a broken person. All of us have been broken by life and pain and people and problems and relationships and all sorts of stuff. And I'm really, really grateful that I've got Jesus to lean on and give me strength as he puts my life back together." God's great, incredible invitation. Who's it from? Who's it to? It's from God. It's to all of us. God so loved the world. But what's it about? What is Christianity about? You know, there's over 800,000 words in the Bible. Over 800,000 words in the Bible, the Word of God. Yet it can be summed up. What's it all about? It can be summed up really in three sentences. It's about forgiveness from the past, new life here, today, right now, and hope for the future. The whole Bible can be summed up in those three statements: forgiveness from the past, new life today, a hope for the future. Everything else in the Bible then is just commentary and application of those three principles. And so we study the Word of God to live in those three promises from God of forgiveness from the past, new life today, and a hope for the future. Every one of us here tonight would agree that there are problems in the world today. We don't have to look very far. Governments, social agencies, charities so often are dealing with symptoms of the problems that we see in the world, but continually dealing with symptoms, the symptoms continually appear unless you deal with the root issue, the heart of the matter, amen? There was a dad and his daughter left at home while mum went out shopping for a few hours, and dad thinks to himself, she's 4 or 5 years of age, and dad thinks to himself, "Man, well, how am I going to keep her occupied for the next couple of hours?" And so he's flicking through a magazine, he saw a map of the world. And so he got a pair of scissors, he thought to himself, "Jigsaw puzzles, she likes jigsaw puzzles. She's not real good on the map of the world though, she's only 4 or 5. So dad gets a pair of scissors and starts cutting out this map of the world and says, "Hang on, darling, I've got a great game for you. You know how you love jigsaw puzzles?" And he's cutting the map of the world into all these shapes and he flings them and mixes them all up on the ground and thinks to himself, "This is great, I'll have a couple of hours out in the shed now while she puts the jigsaw puzzle together." So he says, "Okay, darling, put the map of the world back together and call out to me when you've finished doing it." So he goes outside and he goes out to his shed and he's ready to do a little job or make something or whatever men do in our sheds. What do we do in our sheds? Anyway, I mean, I don't know. But he was out in his shed and then it was like 2 or 3 minutes later, he's, Daddy, I finished. He said to himself, "What? You can't be finished. You can't be finished. You're 4 years old. You can't be finished putting that jigsaw puzzle of the map of the world together." He goes inside, he looks on the coffee table and there it is. Perfect, the map of the world. He looks at his four-year-old, he says, How did you do it? She said, "Well, Dad, while you were looking at the map of the world in the magazine, I had a look at the back of the map, and there was a picture of a man and a woman. And I thought to myself, if I just put the man and the woman back together, I'll be able to put the whole world back together." Wow. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of our hearts, your heart, my heart. Imagine a target and there's two circles on it. Once the first circle says, "Love God," and then the outside circle says, "Love your neighbor." And every day we're given this brand new bow of opportunity to stretch it back and see if we can hit the target. And every day with our bow of opportunity, we stretch it back and we shoot off the arrow. We aim for the target. But you know, and I know, every day, occasionally I get close, but I seem to be missing it every day after day after day, just missing the target of loving God and loving my neighbor. Imagine dying and going to heaven and seeing a movie of your life. It's not very good theology, but I know most of us have thought about it, haven't we? It's been in movies, we've thought about it at different times in our own lives. A movie, sitting in the throne room of heaven or somewhere, or the greater cloud of witnesses, and there's a movie of my life showing every thought, every word, every deed, every action. Man, it's so scary, isn't it? Who'd want to be there? Not me. And so These things, every word, every deed, every action, every thought, they're what the Bible calls sins. They're sins of commission, things that we commit, the sins that we commit and do. It's where and how we miss the mark every day. There's also sins of omission, the things I should have done. And man, there's often some regret in that as well, isn't there? Sins of commission, sins of omission, these are the things that separate us from the love of God, or separate us from at least knowing God. It's why at times that God can seem so far away. He's not really. He's as close as every move I make and every breath I take. That's how close God really is. But he can seem and feel far away from us because of, we sang about it tonight, the sin, the shame, the guilt, the blame that we put upon ourselves. It's a bit like credit card debt. I've got credit card debt. You've got credit card debt. We can't help each other. But there's a man called Jesus who's in credit, totally in credit. And he's the one that can come and clear all our debts. Sin, this problem of sin, this issue of sin. Jesus came to rub it out, not to rub it in. Jesus came to rub it out, not to rub it in. John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus died on the cross to purchase our forgiveness, to forgiveness from the past, new life here today. There was a very famous, world-famous artist. He returned to his hometown. He was walking around the small village where he grew up. He noticed a second-hand shop, and he's looking through the window of the second-hand shop, and he saw one of his paintings, one of the very first paintings he had ever painted. And as he gazed through the window and looking at it, he saw that the paint had faded, that the canvas had been scratched, and the frame was broken. He painted it. It was his painting. But he knew he had to redeem it. He had to buy it back. It didn't, for that very moment, it didn't belong to him. And he needed to buy it, to purchase the painting, to if he wanted to recolor it, restore it, and reframe it. Jesus has purchased you and I. And he wants to restore us. He wants to reframe us. And he wants to recolor our future. That's exactly what he wants to do. Forgiveness from the past, new life today, a hope for the future. A lot of people's hopes are a bit like a hospital gown. You're not really covered as good as you think you are. And sadly, so many people I've talked to over the years having had knee surgery recently, it's a little bit close to home, but anyway. But a lot of people's hope is a little like that. You talk to people about God, about their faith, about their future, about eternity, about their destiny. And often it's, well, I hope so, and I hope, and you know, I'm hoping this, but really that's not the Bible kind of hope that is mixed with faith that Jesus wants to give us through his death, burial, and resurrection, that the fact that he has conquered the grave. Historical fact. Has anyone seen the new movie? He's Risen, is that what it's called? Risen? I want to see it, it looks awesome. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said that men and women, you and I, all of us, that we're traveling down either one of two roads. Men and women, you and I, all of us, we are serving one or two masters. Men and women, we are building our lives on one or two foundations. Jesus said that all of us, men and women, each one of us here tonight, we are entering one or two doors. Jesus said that every one of us, men and women, all of us, we are headed for one of two destinations in eternity. Now, why would the most loving person that has ever lived say this if this wasn't true? You might be thinking, man, you're getting serious now. But that's because our lives are so serious to God. And his love for us is so precious and so serious. I just want to invite the keyboard player just to come back up as I finish up in prayer together tonight. So what is Christianity? It is the great invitation from God to us, to you and I, to surrender our lives to God. It's about forgiveness from the past, new life today, and this incredible hope for the future. RSVP, respondez s'il vous plaît. What have you done with your invitation? Why don't we just close our eyes together tonight as we pray together? Father God, I just give you thanks, Lord, just for each one of us that is here tonight. And Father, I just give you thanks that each one of us is on a journey. We're all on a spiritual journey, whether we're aware of it or not. And Father, I pray for those, maybe there's some that seem far away from you tonight, God. Father, I pray that they would know and sense and realize and see that you love them, that you've forgiven them, you've made a way to cleanse them, to heal them, to forgive them, to give them this brand new life, this brand new start, a brand new hope for the future, brand new life for today. Maybe there's some of us who have slipped away that I know what that's like. You know, sometimes in my life, it's been like God has been priority one. So easy at times. The things of this world can come in. It's just God slips away. And I still love God, but it seems like he's priority 10 or priority 20. It's God, forgive me. Lord, I want to come back. Lord, I'm off track. But it's so easy. He's so close. He feels far away. That's our junk, that's our guilt, that's our shame, which he just wants us to hand to him. And he's there, he's right there. His arms around us, loving us, embracing us, forgiving us, cleansing us, encouraging us, spurring us on, filling us again with his Holy Spirit. Awesome God. Just while every eye is closed, maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've never really responded to the invitation. Maybe you've never really given your life to God. It's just a simple prayer. Bible says, Jesus said, whoever receives me, I will confess him to my Father. We receive Christ by a simple prayer. If that's you tonight, I just want to ask you to just to lift up your hand, just while every eye's closed, just to lift up your hand, just to show me, just to say, Sean, please pray for me. As you pray tonight, Sean, please include me. I want to do this. I need to do this. I've never really done this, but I want to respond. I want to RSVP. I want to receive God tonight. Is there anyone here tonight? Just to lift up your hand, just to say, Sean, that's me. That's me. I need to do this. I want to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're here tonight and it's that, hey, Sean, I feel like I'm off track. Oh, I need to get back on track. It might have been a feeling you've had it the last day, the last week, the last month, the last year. It doesn't matter, but Sean, pray for me, include me. I want to feel his cleansing love and power again. Sean, pray for me. If that's you tonight, just lift up your hand just to say, Sean, please, I've been off track. I want to get back on track. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Anyone here tonight? One bold person, thank you. Another bold person, thank you very much. Let's all pray this together, and just to pray after me. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You died on that cross for me. Thank you, Jesus. Your precious blood cleanses me from all sin. All sin I've ever done. All sin ever done to me. I'm free from it now. I'm washed clean. White as snow. Born again. A child of God. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to love you and serve you and follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Awesome. I just hand over to Pastor Rob.